Begin the current daf, Masech the Sanhedrin daf test. Begin 4 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which the Gemara had already introduced 5 different approaches into explaining the machlekes in our Mishnah regarding the halacha of a Meitzi Shemra. And that is our Masech to open up with the opening Mishnah regarding how many judges are necessary for certain cases, which specifically monetary law requires generally three judges. Now, one of the cases mentioned was that of Meitzi Shemra, which is a husband. Generally, the first day after he gets married, he was marrying under the assumption that she was a besula, a virgin, which then her ksuba is 200. And then he finds out, he says the next morning, that she wasn't a besula. So therefore, he wants to make her lose the ksuba that would be necessary to pay for a besula. So on that, Remeir holds that it's only necessary to have 3 judges, as all other monetary and penalty type of laws, like kefil and others, whereas the Chacham held that, no, you need to have 23 judges. So that thing we're discussing, what is their machlekes? What is it? Is it din mamonis or is it din nefashis? If it's capital law, everyone should agree it's 23 judges, because if a husband comes and testifies, and he even brings witnesses that she was mezana when they were engaged, and that's why she's not a besula anymore, well, then everyone would agree you have to have 23. And if there are no witnesses, then why do the Chacham hold that you need to have 23? It should be like her mayor that you only needed to have 3. So that the Gemara continues with its approaches. Ravina Amar, he gives a 6th approach. Says, Kegun shenimtze echad min ha'edim kar v'pasul. The case that they're discussing, that they're arguing about, is regarding if they find that the one of the witnesses that the husband brought, I have witnesses to show that she was mezana, and therefore I don't have to give her anything, and actually she's chayiv misa, because she was mezana when she's engaged, where it turns out that one of the witnesses was either a relative to the parties, or was a pasul eid. Now, moreover, it's also talking about that he didn't have just 2 witnesses. There were 3 or 4 witnesses where, even though there's 1 relative or 1 aid that's pasul, you still have enough, the minimum of 2 witnesses, to maintain the veracity of the testimony. But the kamiflagi beplukta Rabbi Yisiv Rebbe alibad Rebbe Kiva. The machlekes of Remeir and the Rabban in our Mishnah, it parallels the machlekes of Rabbi Yisiv and Rebbe in the opinion of Rebbe Kiva, which is, it's not like learn the Mishnah Masechtas Makkos. Rebbe Kiva, he says, in contrast to Rabbi Shimon, who said that the reason why does the Torah talk about 3 different witnesses, which Rabbi Shimon says, because up until you have all of them, Kiva Aimer, he says, from the fact that the Pasuk says, a pishnaim edim yakum davar, that based on the testimony of 2 witnesses, you could validate anything that has to be testified. So, for sure, I would know that if you have more than 2 witnesses, 3 witnesses, of course, that would be valid testimony. So why does the Torah have to say, oy shloisha edim, or 3 witnesses? Rather, Rabbi Kiva Aimer, he says, that the Torah is actually coming to give a stringency on false testimony. Because the mention of a 3rd witness is elal hachmerlab, is only to give a stringency on this 3rd witness. Lasois dinoi keyetzu be'elu, that his judgment should be the same, this 3rd one, as all the other witnesses. In other words, although that the execution would not change if he would testify or not, because from the first 2 witnesses already, that would be enough to verify and to validate their testimony. Even so, the Torah is making his law the same as theirs, which is, if let's say their testimony ends up having, they become huzmu. Huzmu means to say that other witnesses say, how could you have testified that? You were with us on that day, and it ends up that they get the punishment they tried to prosecute the defendant with, they get that same punishment. And that's his Rabbi Kiva, that's what the Torah is coming to tell us, that the 3rd aid, he gets the same death penalty just like them, because he was attached himself to those that were sinners. So though it would have been the same testimony whether he would have joined or not, that's what the Torah is coming to say when it says, Oy Shleisha Eidim, coming to say that he's going to get their same punishment, even though it would have been the same testimony with or without him. Which Rabbi Kiva comments, Im Kain Anusha Kasavas and Nitva Lo Ivri Averi Ko Ivri Averi. So if we find that the Torah punishes that which he's just secondary, he just attached himself to sinners, he gets the same punishment like the sinners themselves, where he's adding his 2 cents doesn't change anything, still he gets the same punishment. So Allah has come of a kama, so all the more so Sheishalm Schar, it's a nitfa loisa mitzvah, kaisa mitzvah, that Hashem will pay back the reward for that, someone that is just a secondary to someone who performs a mitzvah, like the one that's performing the primary mitzvah itself, because as we know, as the Gemara mentions, like in Yuma, Ayin Vav, that miditeva meruba mimidis paranias, the measurement of Hashem's goodness is much more than his punishment, and if it's kavachemer, that if someone that's secondary just for a sin, he gets the same punishment, so too someone who's secondary to a mitzvah will get the same reward as the one who does the mitzvah. Now, moreover, another idea is, so why does it say Oishleisha Edim? Is because Umashnaim Nimtze Echad Ben Karav Leipasel Edusim Betela. Just like when you have only two witnesses, if one of them turns out to be a relative or a pasla aid, invalid witness, then the whole witness is void because you don't have even two witnesses. Why the Torah is adding on Oishleisha Edim is coming to say that Afshleisha, that same halacha, applies to three witnesses. That if Nimtze Echad Ben Karav Leipasel, that even if you have only one of the three is invalid or relative, where seemingly, okay, so cut him out, you're still left with two. That's what Rabbi Akiva says, no, the pasuk is teaching Edusim Betela, that's going to throw out the whole testimony. Now, Umanayin Shafilameya says, Rabbi Akiva, how do I know that even if there's 100 witnesses, you have 100, you could have just two, you have 100, and one of them turns to be a relative, that you throw out the whole testimony? Taimalama, that's the Pasuk teaches, but in the Varm, it says another time, Edim, Apishnaim Edim, Oishlesha Edim, why does it say two times the word Edim, is coming to say that even if there's 100 witnesses, still, if one of them is Pasal or Karv, the whole thing is thrown out. That's Rabbi Akiva's statement. Now, on that is machloikis tanoim, how to qualify his teaching. Rabbi Yisi, he says, when did we say that the edus is going to be batel if one of them is found out to be a karav or apostle? That's bedina nefashas. That's be capital punishment. Because the Torah exhorts us in Bamidbar Lamed Hey, betzilu edo, you have to save the people. In other words, we have to employ every option that we have to try to save the defendant, which is to void the testimony against him. Which, and therefore, if we find even one of the 100 witnesses a karav apostle, we throw out the whole testimony and he doesn't get killed. Ava bedina mamnes, but says Rabbi Yisi, but by monetary law? No, if one of the three is not good, so tiskai made this bashar, so throw out that one witness, you still left for two kosher witnesses, and you'll validate the testimony based on the remaining two witnesses. That's Rabbi Yisi's opinion. Rabbi Yisi, he disagrees, he says, no, echadin imamnes ve'echadin nefashis, whether it's monetary law or capital punishment, it's the same thing that if one of the witnesses, even if you have 100 witnesses, is a karav apostle, you throw out the whole thing. That's one machlokes they have. But then there's another machlokes that they have, which is the point that our Gemara is addressing. Moreover, says Rabbi, ve'emasai, when did we say by capital punishment that if one of them is found out to be a karav apostle, that the whole edus is batel? That's only bezman shehisru behem. That's only if the relative or that pasla aid was one of those who had warned the sinners, where, and then they come and say, we saw him do this, we warned him, where they revealed their intention that they also want to be part of the testimony. That's where the pasuk is equating three witnesses to two witnesses to say if one of them is a karav apostle, that is going to be mevatel the edus. Now, avu bezmach lehisru behen, but if the karav or the apostle was not one of those who had warned the sinner, they were there, they witnessed, they're going to come and testify, but they were silent at the time when the person was doing the avera. It was only the kosher witnesses who had warned the sinners. Then the karav apostle did not become, quote, edim. And then, says Rabbi, you could be mekayim the edus with the remaining witnesses, even though the karav apostle was from one of those attending. And he proves his logic as with Tintam at base. Because if so, ma'yasu shnei achem ve'echad, what would then be the case if, let's say, you have two brothers and another random person, unrelated, that's a kosher witness that's with the two brothers, shero be'echad shaharges nefesh, that they see somebody murder another person, that if you say that anyone who is there is automatically an aid, so anytime you have two brothers, you can never execute a murderer because there were two brothers who saw. Says Rabbi, no, that's not the point. The point is the witnesses are the ones who warn. Then they become the witnesses. If we have two brothers that were there, it doesn't make a difference. It's not going to invalidate the testimony. Same thing here, if you have a karav apostle, even though they were there, but if they didn't warn, says Rabbi, that then that's going to still be an option for them to execute the sinner. So, and that's what Ravina was saying. This is the machlokes remain Rabban in our Mishnah. Where, for example, if one of the three witnesses were found out to be a relative or an invalid witness, but that witness had seen what had happened, meaning that the woman was mezana when she was engaged, but was silent, and he didn't warn her. Remeir holds like Rabbi Yisi, who he says that by dinin nefashas, Rabbi Yisi does not differentiate between if the witness had been from the ones who had warned or had not. Either way, if one of them is a karav apostle, the edus is going to be batel, so therefore there's no capital punishment in this case, and if it's just a monetary claim of the husband regarding trying to get out of paying her ksuba, so therefore it's enough with three witnesses. Whereas Rabban, who say that you need to have 23 judges, they hold like Rabbi. where even though one of them is a karva pasul, but since he was silent, then you could verify the testimony with the remaining witnesses, and therefore then she could be executed, and since she could be executed, therefore you need to have 23 judges from the Salach of Mait Hashem. V'ibayisim, or says Ravin, if you want, I could say a different approach, which is the Gemara's seventh approach. K'gayin shehistru ba'acherim, v'la hishru ba'edim, machlegit remain the Rabbanan, if you need to have 3 judges or 23 judges, when the husband brings witnesses who verify that, I didn't find besulim to this woman, and actually I found out there were witnesses who saw she was mezana, we were engaged, is that, but although a woman to be executed needs to have a hasra, a warning, the case was talking about where the witnesses themselves who saw what happened were not the ones who warned her. Rather, others had warned her, and they saw what happened, and they come to testify. And the machlekes Rebbi and Rabbanan are Mishnah, parallels the machlekes Rebbi Yisi and Rabbanan. He says, a defendant does not get executed until that it's the two witnesses who are testifying are the same people who had warned that defendant. Like it says the pasuk in Devarim, it says a pi shnayim edim. It has to be based on the mouth of the two witnesses. Everything has to be on their mouth, not only the testimony but also the warning. And therefore, Reb Meir holds like Reb Yosi, who says that others' warnings doesn't help for these witnesses' testimony, and therefore she's not going to be executed, and therefore it's enough with 3 judges. Whereas a chacham holds like Rabban, who dispute Reb Yosi and say that no, she had a warning and she has witnesses, it's enough to execute her, and therefore this case, which is a case that our Mishnah would be discussing, requires 23 judges because she could be executed. It is a case of Din Nefashis. V'ibay Seimah, and if you want, says Ravin, I could tell you a third approach, which is the Gemara's 8th approach. The case would be talking about where the witnesses were contradicted in regard to the examinations. There's 2 types of tests that the judges do to the witnesses, called chakiris and bedikas. Bedikas are examinations which are different facts regarding the incident. Where if, let's say, one of the witnesses says, yeah, the bayil, the one who had relations with this engaged woman, was wearing dark clothing. The other witnesses, when it was verified privately, said that he was wearing white clothing. So they were contradicted. But they were not contradictory regarding the primary inquiries that are done, which are the intrinsic, essential elements of a testimony regarding what day was it, what time was it, and things like that, where it's only those elements that actually can make the witnesses into hazama, because then they can say, wait, that place, that time, you're testifying, but on that time, that place, at that time, you were with us in a different place. So they weren't contradicted in the chakiris, but they were contradicted in bedikas. Reb Meir holds that being contradicted by the bedikas, it's still considered that the witnesses are contradicted, and therefore, the woman's not going to be killed, because the witnesses are not valid, and therefore, it's just a monetary claim where the husband is believed on his own, as we said in the previous daf, to say that I didn't find Mesulma, he doesn't have to pay the ksuba, so therefore, you only need to have 3 judges. Whereas the Rabban who say you need to have 23 judges is because since by the Chakiris they were the same, they said what time, what place, and so on. So although they were contradicted by the Bedikas, that does not contradict and throw out their testimony. And the reason is because witnesses are not checking exactly what color shoes was he wearing, how tall, all these different things, they don't check exactly, and therefore that is not going to contradict the testimony, and therefore it's going to be valid, and therefore the woman could be executed, and that's why you need to have 23 judges. As the Gemara says, v'kemiflagi b'plukta de benzaka rabbanan, and they're disagreeing in the machlekes benzaka and rabbanan. That's not like in the Mishnah said later on in the Mem and Aleph, where the Mishnah brings a maiso badrik benzaka, there was an incident, and benzaka checked to contradict the witnesses, but uktze te'enim, which is that the witnesses had said that beneath this fig tree was where the incident happened. So Benzakai said to them that this fig tree, were the stems thin or were they fat? Which is because he held that if they make a mistake in even the Bedikas, random facts, they would be contradicted. And that's how Reb Meir held, that they would be contradicted. And since they were contradicted in Bedikas, they Reb Meir held that you only need to have 3, whereas the Rabban, the whole like the Chacham, would disagree with Benzakai and says that they would not throw out their testimony, and therefore, even though they are contradicted with Bedikas and not Bechakiris, she could still be executed, and that's why you need to have 23 judges. So that concludes the Gemara's discussion regarding explaining from the previous daf the Mishnah's halacha of Meitzi Shamra if you need to have 3 judges or 23 judges. Now the Gemara continues with a related discussion regarding what we're talking about when witnesses testified that the woman was Mizana, Tachas Bailo, which is regarding this halacha of Meitzi Shamra. So Amar Yisib, he says, Hevi habal edim shezinsa. If the husband brings witnesses that his kala, when they were engaged, was mezana, and that he's using as a way to show for sure, I don't got to give her a ksuba, actually she's deserving of the death penalty. Now, Vehevi ha'av edim v'hizimum le'edei ba'al. Now, the girl's father, the lady's father, he brings witnesses who do hazama to the husband's witnesses. Say, how could you testify, say the father's witnesses, that you saw this man's daughter being mezana when at that time and that you're claiming you were in that place, you were with us in a different place? So the halacha is, as it always is with edei hazama, is that they get the same, the witnesses get the same punishment that they try to do to the defendant. So says Rav Yosef, edei habal neragim. So the witnesses that the husband originally brought, they get killed because they had tried to execute this man's wife, because she would have got killed if it was verified based on their testimony that she was mezana when she was engaged. But ve'ei mishalmin mamon, they do not have to pay a monetary payment. Meaning, although that in their testimony they were going to make the woman lose her ksuba, when she was supposed to get a ksuba when she leaves the union with her husband, and based on their testimony, she was going to lose it all because the husband says mekach tayis. I was told she's a basula, and there's no basula. And actually, I have witnesses that I know why she was not a basula, because when we were engaged, something happened. And that says Rav Yosef that they do not have to pay that benefit of the ksuba, which is actually the value of how much the ksuba was. That as the Gemara explains in Pesach Tzemachis, like other zayme the ksuba, which is how much they would have to actually pay, not the actual value of the ksuba. But they don't have to pay anything regarding the monetary, the value that they would have made her lose of the ksuba, because of her, what they tried to do to her, they're getting killed. So they don't have to additionally pay the money that they tried to make her lose too. Because the halacha is that whoever is liable for the death penalty is exempt from paying a monetary payment. As the pasuk says in Shmos Chafalov, that lo ye'asin, if people were fighting and there was nothing, no fatality, then understand you have to pay a monetary payment, which tells us, but if there was, then there's a halacha called kimli b'diramine, then you're only liable for the greater punishment, which in this case is them being executed, and not to have to pay the monetary payment. Now actually Rashi addresses a different concern, which the Gemara is going to illustrate the similar idea shortly, is that, but what's with the 100 sela, where they, with their testimony, by backing up the husband's claim, would make the father lose out, because the father is claiming that he's lying, and he's a mitzi shemra. And actually, by them testifying for the husband, they're making the woman get killed, which is for one party, but the tashlum of the money is actually for a different party, for the father. By their testifying with the husband, they're making the father lose out the 100 slum that he would get by proving that the husband is a liar and spreading false rumors about his daughter. So and that actually explains Rashi that 100 slum is not incumbent upon the witnesses to pay. It's actually incumbent upon the husband. The reason for that is because it's through their witnesses that the husband brings that the husband could only become then liable to pay to the father the 100 slum. And the reason is because as long as the husband does not bring witnesses that his wife was mezana when they were engaged, he's never going to be liable for the punishment of 100 sloim based on his own testimony when he comes to court and he says, I didn't find besulim. So he can do that to get out of paying the ksuba. But the halacha of then the father saying, you liar, what? My daughter didn't have besulim, and they can prove it, then the husband has to pay the 100 sloim. As the Gemara says in Masech Ksubas, that would only be if the husband originally had brought witnesses with him. Because the pasuk says, it says, the pasuk goes through it. If it's true what the husband's claiming, that she was mezana, then the woman's going to get killed. Now, that would only apply if there were witnesses. If there's no witnesses, she wouldn't get killed. So therefore, the other part of the pasuk also, which says, and if he's not saying the truth, then he has to pay 100 sloim, is also only going to be if he brought witnesses that she was mezana, and then they're huzim, and then it becomes liable. So therefore, essentially, that's his liability. It's because that's what creates his claim, but it's not relevant to the testimony of the witness itself. And that's how Rashi addresses why there's not going to be a monetary payment. It's not going to be a monetary payment for the woman, because regarding Tahar, they're already getting a greater punishment of the death penalty. And regarding a different party, which Kimler Rabbi does not help for another party, which is for the father, that's not their responsibility, actually. It's actually the husband, because his penalty of Mitzvah Shemra is only after the witnesses actually make a claim, and then they're huzim. But continues Rav Yosef, this was all talking about where if the husband made a claim with witnesses, and then the father brought witnesses who were then mazim his witnesses. But continues Rav Yosef, Chazav Hevi Habal Edim. But let's say the story continues. It gets more interesting. The husband then brings a new pair of witnesses, v'hizimum le'idav. And then they do hazama to the father's witnesses and say, wait a second, how could you be mazim these original witnesses that the husband brought to say that they were with you in that place at that time, but you were with us at that same time in a different place, so you're now huzim? So says Rav Yosef, then the halacha is going to be the Eidei Ha'av Ne'ragin. So the witnesses of the father are going to get executed because they tried killing the husband's witnesses. So with their testimony now, when they're found out that they're huzim, they get the death penalty. And in this case, umeshal memamad. They additionally, besides getting executed, have to pay a monetary payment of 100 sloim to the husband because they wanted to make him liable when they were mazim his edim to say, you were a liar that you didn't find bitchim sulam. And the witnesses, we were mazim them. So there, they have to pay the money to the husband. And the reason for this is because it's two different parties. Mamun lezeh, the monetary payment is for the husband. V'nefashish lezeh, and the death penalty that they're going to get killed is because of the witnesses that they tried to be mazim. And the reason is because the Rishon holds that when the Torah exempts a person that when he gets a death penalty that he doesn't have to pay the lower punishment of a monetary payment, that's only if the death penalty and the money was coming through one individual, through one party. And that's the case in the previous case regarding the first step, regarding the Eidei Habel, where they attempted to create a monetary loss, a loss of life to the woman. In this case, where the second pair of witnesses, they tried going ahead and creating the first set of witnesses to be killed, and the husband to have a loss of 100 zlam at two different parties, then they have to pay both of them. Another halacha relating to this topic of Edom from V'amr of Yosef, which Rabbi Yosef says, which opens up the sugya of what's known as Plagina Dibur, regarding could we split up a person's testimony into two parts. Rabbi Yosef says the following halacha. He says, Plainly Ravu, a person comes to testify and he says that that individual sodomized, meaning he had acts of homosexuality, la'ontzoi, against his will, meaning he wasn't a willing participant. Huva acher mitzar from laharkis, it says of Yosef, this individual who he was sodomized by that person, he's valid to testify on the assailant together with another person who had witnessed it, and based on him joining with this other witness, that the one who sodomized will get killed because of the act of Mishkav Zachar is something that is punishable by death. He could be killed based on the victim and another person's testimony. Now, however, it continues of Yosef, but Lord Sinai, but if let's say he says, yeah, this person sodomized me, but I was a willing participant, so then Rasha, who says, obviously, he's a wicked person. He is committed the same Avera as the one who sodomized him. And the Torah says in Shemayis, Al Tashas Rasha A, do not make a wicked person into a witness, which actually is part of a longer pasuk in Shemayis Chav Gimel, Al Tashas Yotcha, etc. So it says that a wicked person cannot be an aid. How could he, who he himself is committing, and he says this in his own testimony when he's coming to incriminate and execute the one who sodomized him, he's saying, and I was a willing participant, he did the same sin, how could he come ahead and execute the person? He's not a valid witness, and then the Raiva will not get killed. In contrast, Rava Amar, he disagrees with Rav Yosef. And he says, no, a person does not become invalidated for testimony based on his own admission. And because Adam Karv Etzel Atzmoy, a person is considered a relative to himself. In other words, we know that a relative is not valid to say testimony in someone else. There's no greater relativity to the person himself. So therefore, says Rava, Ve'ein Adam Meisim Atzmoy Rasha, a person cannot make himself, cannot incriminate himself to make himself into a wicked person. In other words, regarding the testimony that's relevant to himself, he cannot be believed because he's a relative to himself. So therefore, he cannot incriminate himself by saying that he was a willing participant in this act of Mishkav Zachar to become a Rasha because the Torah invalidates a relative to say testimony. So therefore, says Rava, the Raveya, the one who sodomized him, who that's what he's testifying, will get killed because we do what's known as Palgin and Dibur. We actually split up the testimony of this nirva, and that is we believe him because what he's saying is true regarding his friend, but we don't believe him regarding himself to invalidate the testimony by incriminating himself and becoming a wicked person, because what he's saying is true, saying that this person was roivami l'ritzayni, so he could incriminate him. He's a wicked person. How do you know he's a wicked person? How do you know he's a Russian that he shouldn't believe it as an aid? Because he's saying it regarding himself, regarding that he's not believed. We don't even hear what he's saying. He cannot say that aidus. And therefore, since we don't know him as a Russia, he's kasher to be an aid with someone else, and therefore the Reveya will get killed. Another teaching from Amar Rava on this theme as we continue to have a Yudim and Aleph If someone testifies plainly ba'alishti, that person had relations with my wife, a married woman. Says Rava, huva acher mitzdar from lahargis. So this husband and another man who had witnessed this act of unfaithful relations are could join together to kill that man. Avaloy laharga, but not to kill this man's wife. The reason for that is because his wife is a relative to him, is a karev. Now, although that he's being believed with this testimony regarding that man, but we don't believe him regarding his wife. Now, that's the concept we just said before from Rava, which is Palgin and Dibura. Because really, it's one statement that he's saying. But we're saying regarding the man, he's believed, but regarding his wife, he's not believed because a person's not believed regarding a karev. So the Gemara asks, my kamash malon. So what's Rava teaching us in this halacha? Dimefalgin and Dibura, that we split up a person's words, that in other words, we can use it in one in for that, for the man, but we don't use it regarding the woman. But I know half, but that's the same thing he said regarding plainly Rivani Lurtsaini. Says the Gemara, Ma'adetema Adam Karv Eitzel Atzma Yamin. And what would you think to say that we say in the halacha of Pagin and Dibura to split up a person's words and say it's only working in this element but not in this element regarding a person himself? Regarding that, we say that you can't say anything regarding yourself. So we say it's like you're not saying that you're a Rasha, and if it's going to work for the to kill the one who is the sodomizer. But Eitzel Ishtoi Lo Yamrinan, but we would think to say, but regarding a person's wife, we wouldn't say, yeah, of course, a wife is a relative to a man, but we wouldn't say it to extend in this concept of Pagin and Dibura. And we would say that since ultimately he is believed with what he's saying to kill that man, so then we would kill his wife too. Because if you're believing him, so of course he can't come straight out and testify regarding his wife. But if it's enough to allow, because what he's saying is true regarding that man, he's not related to the man, him and another person saw that this guy was Mizana, he gets a death penalty, but who was he Mizana with? With this man's wife. So we wouldn't go ahead and split it up and splice and say, it can't work regarding the wife. No, it is, because you're killing him by a person himself, you say, it can't work. This guy is it's himself. But regarding a wife, although she's a relative, you would think that we wouldn't say Pagin Dibura, and it's still more distant than from a person himself. And then you would say, okay, by default, that means to say what he's saying is true, because it's true for that man, and therefore we would kill his wife too. Kamash Balan, that's what Rabbi's teaching this halacha too, that no, anyone that's a relative, he's not believed, it's not just regarding the person himself, and therefore we'll say Pagin Dibura, we'll say what he's saying is true, and we'll kill the man, but it won't have relevancy regarding the man's wife, and therefore, if regarding his wife, it's not valid to go ahead and say any testimony, and therefore she only has one witness regarding her, not two witnesses, and therefore she's not going to be killed.